On January the 13th, I launched a new sermon series entitled The Puzzle, because our lives are often like a difficult puzzle that we struggle to piece together. I said that life is like a box of puzzle pieces, and only a few key pieces are necessary to experience the blessings of life. When Jesus preached his famous Sermon on the Mount, he presented eight blessings, eight beatitudes, eight pieces that can help solve the puzzling challenges of our lives. The first four blessings, or beatitudes, have to do with our relationship with God. When we are poor in spirit, we are aware that we are spiritually bankrupt before Almighty God, and that leads us to mourn over our own sinfulness and our unworthiness, which causes us to humble ourselves in meekness, and then eventually hunger and thirst for the things of God. The final four beatitudes or blessings have to do with our relationship with others. When we realize our own unworthiness before God, it moves us to be merciful to others, to strive to be pure in our intentions within our hearts, and to become peacemakers, and also to be willing to endure persecutions with grace and with love. Now, a few years ago, George Gallup surveyed Americans on the top five questions that they would ask, if they had a chance, that they would ask God. And the fourth question on the list was this: will there ever be lasting world peace? I just forgot about Facebook. So welcome to our Facebook crowd. And I've just now turned on the microphone, so again, welcome to our Facebook crowd, and we hope this message is meaningful to you. Anyway, the fourth question on the list from George Gallup's survey was this: will there ever be lasting world peace? Well, the answer is no, but it's also yes. No, there will never be lasting world peace until Christ returns and the world comes to an end. But yes, there can be world peace, and there can be peace that we bring into the hearts of individuals when we put into practice the act of peacemaking and we demonstrate the life-changing peace of Christ within our own lives. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us to become peacemakers. For the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. It was Christmas Day 1914 when British and German troops cautiously climbed out of their trenches to celebrate Christmas along the 600 miles of no man's land during World War I. Troops slowly walked across the snow-covered battlefield, risking their lives to participate in the day-long truce. They sang Christmas carols. They cared for their wounded. They shared cigarettes and chocolates and shared photographs of their families. And they even played a game of soccer in one of the areas. And though some commanding officers condemned their soldiers for fraternizing with the enemy, the vast majority embraced the day with joy and friendship and compassion. It was a day when thousands of soldiers on both sides became peacemakers for Christ. In 1968, the New York Times did a little research on how many wars have been fought in the last 2,000 years, and they came up with an estimate that 14,533 wars have occurred since 36 BC. Now, that was 51 years ago. How many wars have there been since then? Well, though there are over 400 references to peace scattered across the pages of God's Word, wars and rumors of wars continue to occur all around our planet. At the end of World War II in 1945, the United Nations was created with the following mission statement: to have succeeding generations be free from the scourge of war. Well, has it happened? Not at all. In fact, in many respects, our world is more warlike than ever before. And that's why we need this seventh beatitude, this seventh blessing, this seventh piece of the puzzle. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Now, the Greek word that Jesus used in this passage, the word he used for peacemakers, is only used in this one place in the entire New Testament. It does not have to do with the absence of conflict, but with something else: reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, this means that as Christians, we are called to be peacemakers who work very hard to bring people to God and to one another in unity and love. It's the same message we find in Psalm 133. God loves it when we seek to be united together because it brings peace and causes God to pour out his blessings upon us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the greatest Christian theologians, was martyred just a few weeks before World War II ended. And in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he had this to say about peace: "The followers of Jesus have been called to peace. When he called them, they found their peace, for he is their peace. But now they are told that they must not only have peace, but they must make peace. How do they make it? By giving themselves up for others." One of the greatest reformers of the 1500s was Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church. And he loved to tell the story of the two goats as an illustration of peacemaking. And the story goes like this: two goats met in the middle of a very narrow bridge as they crossed over deep water. They could not turn around and they could not go back. They durst not fight, lest they fall into the water. After a short parley, one of them lay down and let the other go over him. And thus no harm was done. The moral, said Luther, is easy: be content if thy person, thyself, be trod upon for the sake of peace. In other words, peacemakers are always willing to give themselves up for God and others. Now, we've all heard of peacemakers like Mother Teresa, or Desmond Tutu, or Martin Luther King Jr., but has anyone ever heard the name of Sir Nicholas Winton? Anyone? I doubt it. Sir Nicholas George Winton was a British peacemaker who organized the rescue of 669 Jewish children from the Nazis at the beginning of World War II. You've probably all heard of the movie Schindler's List, and you've heard about Oskar Schindler and how he saved 1,200 Jews from the Holocaust. Well, Sir Winton did a very similar thing to what Oskar Schindler did. In fact, he is called in England, he's called the British Schindler. He was willing to give himself up and risk his life for the sake of all of these children who were in Czechoslovakia under German occupation. He managed to sneak them out of Czechoslovakia. He got them to England. He found them places to live. He saved their lives. Now, no one knew what he had done until 1988. And he was invited to go and sit in the audience in a British BBC, British television show called That's Life. And without knowing what was about to happen, he just sat there and enjoyed the show. And then all of a sudden, the host stood up and announced, if anyone owed their life to a man named Winton. And almost the entire audience stood up and began cheering and applauding and honoring and surprising Sir Nicholas Winton. In 2003, he was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II, and in 2014, he received the highest award from the Czech Republic, the Order of the White Lion. He died in 2015 at the age of 106 and was again honored for being such a great peacemaker. All of us can be peacemakers and do remarkable things like Sir Nicholas Winton. In his commentary on Matthew, John MacArthur says this, "Peace is a creative force producing goodness and well-being. It is not just the absence of something, it is the presence of something. It is not the absence of conflict, it is the presence of aggressive goodness." I love that phrase, aggressive goodness. We become peacemakers of aggressive goodness when we make peace with God in our hearts and when we put our complete faith and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord. Only after we have given our hearts to Christ can we then become peacemakers to others. Our goal is to help other people experience the same peace of Christ in their hearts that we have experienced. And of course, we call that evangelism. It's taking that little card to our wild game dinner and making sure you give it to someone so that just possibly they might experience the peace of Christ in their hearts. It's inviting people to come and sit with you and worship just so they might experience the peace and life-changing peace of Christ in their hearts. As peacemakers, we are to care for and to love and to serve and to invite people to come and meet the Prince of Peace and embrace the only one who can bring peace to the human heart. As peacemakers, we can do the following. Make a call, write a letter, share a meal, give some money, comfort the hurting, listen to the sad, love the lonely, invite the lost, and tell the story of Jesus. The story that you have experienced, the love of Christ that you have experienced, the peace of Christ that has changed your heart. Jesus said that when we do these kinds of peacemaking things, we are blessed and will be called the sons of God. Now, what does that mean? It means that we will be doing the things that God does. We will be part of God's family, children of God, as Brian read. We will be part of what God is trying to accomplish in His great mission in the world. And we will become His witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth just by becoming peacemakers for Christ. Someone wrote a very simple poem that describes the essence of peacemaking, and it reads in this way, "I am only one person, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What can I do? What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do it." I imagine that the number 382,000 means nothing to all of you, but it should. That's the number of innocent lives that have been lost in southern Sudan in the last few years. Rebels have tortured and abused and maimed and killed all of those people, leaving thousands of children without families. In the December 20th, 2018 issue of Presbyterians Today magazine, there is an article entitled, "Blessed Are the Peacemakers." The article is about Shelvis and Nancy Smith Mather, who serve as Presbyterian missionaries in southern Sudan, which has been described as one of the most dangerous places on our planet. Shelvis and Nancy have given themselves up and risked their lives in order to help all of these troubled orphans and children and bring new hope and new life to them. Before Shelvis and Nancy completed their mission, they gathered all the children together and they had these words that Nancy shared with them. She said, "Each one of you has a unique purpose in the body of Christ. God allows me to play the role of a messenger to carry stories from one part of the church to another. I will tell churches in the United States about you, about a group of children who have gone through many difficulties, yet they are helping each other to heal and allowing God to give them hope. Your testimonies will inspire the followers of Christ in my country to listen to each other and to help heal each other." Will there ever be lasting world peace? Well, the answer is no and yes. No, because it will never absolutely occur until Jesus comes back in his second coming and the world comes to an end. But yes, because each one of us can do our part in bringing true peace into the hearts of individuals simply by becoming peacemakers and sharing the peace of Christ that we have experienced with many other people. The peace that has changed our lives. Life is a puzzle. It's not solved with a P-I-E-C-E piece of the puzzle, but only with a P-E-A-C-E piece of Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.